3, 2, 1.
This podcast is brought to you by Manly.ie, Ireland's pharmacy for men. Manly.ie is a dedicated space for men's health, wellness and grooming online. Access practical online and face-to-face advice as well as in-depth product range tailored to support men's health in Ireland. Visit Manly.ie for more and you can follow them on social media.
Delighted now to be joined by Colm Callanan, formerly of Galway, Paul Kelly, of Tipperary, and hopefully be joined by Malachy Travers as well, of Wexford. It was round two of the Leinster and Munster Championships over the weekend, and I suppose, Colm, like, coming to you first, I suppose, Limerick's win over Waterford, absentees they've got, they've really kind of showed to everyone now that they're not gone anywhere and they're going to be, I suppose, they're trying to put themselves now as one of the great teams.
For sure, to be honest, I don't think anyone really thought they were gone anywhere, you know, a few bad league results apart. Probably the biggest thing they would be happy with, I suppose, is the fact that, you know, missing a few key players there and even Keane Lynch went off early in the game, but they still got over the line against, you know, a team that many people are kind of building up to be the biggest threat to them. So that says a lot about the panel, doesn't it, really? You know, that, you know, or the game plan they have, that, you know, they can suffer a few losses to the team. You know, Kyle Hayes, Seamus Flanagan wasn't playing, Peter Casey obviously still missing from last year. But there's a few lads, you know, filling up the spots, you know, very ably. And they're still putting a good performance like they did, and you know, it's hard. You know, they're justifying the favourites, aren't they?
Are they still a good bit ahead of everyone, do you think, now after the weekend?
Look, you can never write off anyone. You know, a team like Waterford or a couple more there in a one-off game. I think, you know, it's you'll have a serious day's work done to beat a team like Limerick, especially the way they're playing. I think they have whatever way they've gone about it. They seem to have timed their run again fairly well. You know. They went through the league, suffered a few defeats or whatever. Didn't go probably fully according to plan, but I mean, they're not going to worry a thing about that now. They're 2-2 in Munster, and you know, they're looking a good place now to get into a Munster final and kick on as well.
And Paul, obviously not the greatest weekend for Tipperary overall, but when you see a team like Limerick coming up now for Tip, what are you thinking?
I suppose from Tip's point of view, you'd be kind of worried having to face Limerick. I suppose Tipperary's season looks to be well and truly over now, having to face Limerick. But just as Colin said, a phenomenal outfit, that Limerick side. Like, they're on the road a long time, like, realistically. As I said to someone today, I think the only team that could beat Limerick themselves, something similar to the 2019, where they got caught by Kilkenny. But no, I think Colm hit the nail on the head. Like, the strength and depth that they have is phenomenal. Like, players like Peter Casey out there with the cruciate, even Kyle Hayes there injured, Peter Flanagan, you know, or Seamus Flanagan, you know, they're just the guys that come in willing to pick up those spots and raise their hand, raise the bar too, to the just well able to fit into the Limerick plan.
And Colin, what stands out for you with this Limerick team?
There's a number of things. I mean, you know, the biggest thing is, I suppose, the consistency. You know, they won their All-Ireland in 2018. Like, they've backed it up so many times now since the big performances. Nothing phases them. Like, there's been a few games, like, they didn't go great in the league, but even in Championship, you look at the way the Cork game went, the first few minutes of the Cork game, Cork really opened them up and got a run on them. But like, there was no deviation from the plan, no panic whatsoever. You still always felt Limerick could probably kick themselves into the game, and they did, and they went down and won it. you look at the way Keane Lynch went off the last day, you know, other teams, you know, might have retreated into their shell a little bit and sat back a bit, but there wasn't a hint of that from Limerick. You know, they just kicked on again. Waterford got their two quick goals in succession, wiped out nearly a 7 or 8 point lead at the time, brought it back to a point or two. And, you know, they just found a way again to tag on 3 or 4 more points again and just get themselves comfortable again. You know, that's a huge marker for a team, just not to let panic set in. And you never see it and you never feel that they're going to panic. So that's a huge one from their point of view.
And Paul, like on that, I suppose, Limerick-Waterford game overall, Waterford's obviously race into the 3 point lead and then they go 8-3 ahead, but like Limerick weren't motoring early on at the best, but they, as Colum said there, they found a way, as they did late on in the second half as well, when the momentum was shifting in that game.
Yeah, I suppose Limerick have a process that they're familiar with. Nothing seems to faze them. Go back to last year's Munster final, they were 10 points down. They kept to the plan, came out in the second half. And, you know, something similar to last Saturday night against Waterford. They seem to stick to the process. They don't get fazed. Even if they go 7 or 8 points down, they stick to the process. You know, I suppose Ira Daly was a huge loss for Waterford there. Like, Aaron Gillan seemed to come into his own once he went off there, you know, and he had a super performance there, especially in the second half. You know, I think he got, was it 13 points, 7 from frees or 6 from play, I think was his return. You know, like these big players seem to step up when the game goes into the melting pot. Like, you know, their old Hegarty there, probably 1 or 2 frees, you know, probably didn't score as much as he would have liked in the first half, but again, you know, got his point. You'll have the Tom Morrissey's there chipping in with their 1 or 2 points, you know, and even Dermot Burns there, wing back, return of, I think, could have been 5-6 points, you know, 1 from play and the rest freeze from the weekend. So, you know, they're, again, as Colm said, like, Keane Lynch went off there, it didn't faze him, you know, they just stuck to the process. And I suppose, listen, they're under, as I said earlier, they're on the road a long time. There's trust in every, in the whole 1 to 20 or 25. No matter who comes on, they seem to stick to that process and, you know, they get the results by sticking to that.
And Paul, like, I suppose the big thing with this Limerick team is the middle third. Like, they're absolutely crucifying teams in the tackle when teams are bringing into that blanket. Like how do you, I suppose, avoid that sea of green in that middle third?
Well, geez, it's a fair engine room. It's a fair engine room there, Paul. You know, there, I suppose, even in the last 10 minutes when Limerick brought on, or sorry, Waterford brought on fresh legs and they started to run at him, they still just swallowed them up. The Dermot Burns there, you know, Declan Hannan, Tom or Dan Morrissey, you know, they're carrying the ball into these tackles. And it was one particular time that Ross and Gleeson ran down the left flank heading for the City goal. And Dermot just stuck with him and forced him into making a mistake, you know. And, you know, that momentum that Limerick have by turning over, also gets the crowd behind him. And once Limerick get on top, they're a fair side now to turn over.
And Colm, like, is it, like, for teams now approaching, I suppose, because this is where Limerick are creating the turnovers, getting the scores off. Like, is it, like, how do you see it? Do you need to go direct straight away and just try and totally bypass this middle third?
It's probably a balancing act, really, Paul. I mean, you can't be looking to run through them all day because they won't allow it. But there is times like I thought a lot of Waterford's passes, uncharacteristically for them, were, you know, across the pitch a little bit, but it was really been more forced into doing that by Limerick, the way they set up and the way they pushed up on them. You know, typically Waterford, you know, have a strong off the shoulder run, you know, and the passes through that first tackle and then they're away, you know, but Limerick seemed to, or for whatever reason, Limerick didn't allow them to do that. But it's a balancing act. There's times when you have to run the ball and there's times when you need to hit the spaces. inside, but again, it has to go right in. It has to go deep. You have to be accurate. You know, when you have Desi Hutchinson inside, you know, and these guys, you know, making the runs, you've got to be making use of it. You've got to hit them with the ball. But you can't go one way or the other with Limerick, because if you just keep doing the one thing all day, they'll shut it down before long, and you'll be done. You need to have a few strings to your bow, really, don't you?
And Colm, as Paul was mentioning there about Aaron Glan, really stepped up to the plate. 13 points from play. Like, he probably is one of the, I suppose, most difficult players to be making in the game. Like, Earl Daly done very well, but just Glan in the air at the moment seems to be impossible to stop.
Yeah, he is. He would have been my man of the match, and I would think, but I actually didn't realise he got that much. I would have said he got 8 or 9 points, but 13 was it? That was, you know, that's a fair return. Like, he's free taking, you know, anything within 50 yards, you know, sideline to sideline, it's going over the bar. You know that. And the position he takes up, you know, just off the right post, you know, with the left hand goes up, and, you know, if he catches it, he's able to turn and finish so well. But again, look, and he'd probably say the same thing himself, it's about the service he's getting. You know, I think I remember a stat there from a couple of years ago in one of the games. He made something like 19 runs for possession, and he only got possession 4 times. But again, the day you stop running for the ball is the day you don't get the ball anymore. So he's brilliant at that. You know, and the Limerick player is obviously well tutored now in how to find him in the best position. And look, if those players out the field are looking up to see where he is and they're picking him out, I mean, you can have 2 early dailies there if you want. I mean, it's near impossible.
And just on Waterford, Paul, like, it was a massive game for them, obviously, coming up here against Limerick. Like, do you think psychologically this could have an impact on them? Because, like, they are going to meet Limerick down the road. Liam Cahill, I suppose, hasn't got that victory over Limerick yet.
Well, I suppose they are league champions, so they will take confidence from that. You know, I suppose, going back to the All-Ireland in 2020, there was 11 points in it. I think it was 11 points in the semi-final again last year. So I suppose from Liam Cahill's point of view, listen, they're getting closer. They are getting closer. Like I was in it, was the goal, 3 points there last weekend. You know, so I'm sure Water will take confidence from that they are getting closer. They're probably, I suppose, they are the team having won the league that are second probably favourites for the All-Ireland in terms of that. You know, but again, listen, I don't think Water will have to get it. Disappointed. You know, there's probably areas, even Liam Cahill's interview, you know, he's always harping on that there's areas they can improve on. So, you know, I suppose back to the training field is, you know, they will learn valid lessons, I'm sure, from last Saturday night, you know. So, listen, I suppose it's all about getting another crack at it. That's what their focus will be now. You know, again, I said, they're getting closer.
And we're joined now by Malachy Travers as well. Like, Malachy, we've just been talking here about the strength of Limerick, which is just, they proved it again after this weekend.
Yeah, and I suppose it was a great opportunity for Waterford to turn them over when they were missing a few injured, with Kyle Hayes, big name players missing. And it was a great opportunity, but I think as well, it just shows that they can reach into their squad and they can just, you know, go again. And also a few other guys like Tom Morrissey probably as well came back to, you know, form the last couple of years as well on the day. But I think as well, like, teams can panic and you can jump at teams that don't perform that well in the league. And look where Limerick are now compared to where they were back, say, after the couple of rounds of the league. So, yeah, it's they're a phenomenally strong team. But I would say from Waterford's perspective, I think Paul alluded to it there, was that how disappointed were they with the result, really? Because if they want to beat Limerick, they probably want to beat them in the All-Ireland final, or maybe a Munster final, but definitely an All-Ireland final. So I don't think it's all lost for them either. But and I think they will get a bit of confidence from what they did as well. Like, you know, so there's a lot to play for yet, really, for them.
And, like, later on in that game, Malachy, they did bring it 221 1 to 28 points. Jack Prendergast gets that goal in 65 minutes. Then Neil Montgomery gets turned over. Like, it was a huge one where he did get turned over, and Hannon then adds another one. But like, they just couldn't get that equalizer laid on, and you could see they were trying so hard to try and get that equalizer.
Absolutely. There could have been elements trying to force that equalizer, like, you know, and even if you think of it in another way, Limerick got hit for 6 points, if like, you know, two goals or whatever, and they were able to withstand that and not lose their composure and just still see the game out as well. From Waterford's perspective, that threw them right into the game, like, and it was huge momentum on their side as well. So I think as well, like, I'm still very impressed with Waterford. I think they've probably a bit more to go as well. But I think it was a bit of a confidence builder. Like, they're not way off Limerick. I know Limerick, you could say, they were missing a couple of guys, two big guys, you know, and Kyle Hayes and Keane Lynch as well, like, to injury. So, not a loss for them really. But I think I know we keep back to Limerick here, but they were very, like, they were able to withstand that challenge from Waterford and kind of almost, you know, lay down a mark for them, say, like, you know, not a narrow patch as well.
Do you still think it's vital though, Colin, for Lynch, like, to not be like out for too much of the season? Obviously they still get through, but you feel as the championship and round robin goes on, like, they will need Keane Lynch back, because he is
absolutely, yeah, they will need all their players, and Seamus Flanagan, and I don't know how far Peter Casey is off, if he's training or not, to be honest. Kyle Hayes and both Keane was it both hamstring injuries, I think. So you know, they're not something that clear up, you know, in a few days either. You know, it probably will take a couple of weeks for those injuries to come about, but definitely they will be looking and need those guys back as they go into the championship. Like, they're probably odds on now for a Munster final, and taking it on into an All Ireland series, then, you know, you will need those players. You know, it's just the experience they bring, I suppose. They're just key players. I mean, Keane Lynch, Horror of the Year. Definitely. I mean, but again, will they be unduly worried in the interim or in the short term? They probably won't, given the performances that the players that came in and filled up those positions that gave. So I still think they're in good stead. But obviously, if those players come back into the reckoning, then again, I mean, it just makes them even stronger.
And Paul, on the other game in Munster, obviously Clare did have a big victory over Tipperary. As you said there, it really looks like Tipperary now are out of the Munster Championship. How does that feel as a Tipperary supporter, I suppose, in the end of April now, that they're not going to be pushing on to the latter stages?
Listen, I suppose we went out to Waterford there, and we got boss reading after the Waterford game. You know, a lot of, I suppose, the general Tip public were happy how they performed against Waterford. You know, I suppose, was first Waterford's first game after being crowned league champions, so maybe they were, you know, a bit apprehensive coming into that game too. You know, and they got the win that day, and it probably set them up for a performance that weekend. From Tip's point of view, I suppose they were waiting in the long grass for them. Tip maybe got a false reading from the performance in Waterford that weekend. You know, then again, where, you know, Conor Bow was out injured, which was, you know, he was hurting well. He started well below against Waterford. So he, like, I suppose he was a loss. You know, then, listen, again, it's very disappointing from Tip's point of view to be out near enough out of the championship stage. You know, yesterday's performance was very disappointing from the Tip perspective. You know, like, they never clear, I suppose, went at Tip. You know, from the word go, Tip was disappointing. I suppose Tip didn't battle. There was didn't seem to be much heart in Tip when Clare went at him. I know Clare probably had the wind, but still there was a lot of concern for Colin Bonner, you know, going in, preparing for his next two championship clashes. Like John Conlon took up the field there one stage and really opened up the Tipperary defence. You know, it was 3-on-2 there at one stage. You know, but listen, it's hard to know. Tip are at a cross, a rebuilding process. Have lost Brendan Maher and Paddy Maher this year. You know, John McGrath injured yesterday. So, you know, like, suppose a big few weeks for Colin Bonner and his backroom team heading out to, I suppose, blood new talent and try, I suppose, find three or four players, you know, that can step up to the mark over the winter and, you know, be ready for the championship next year.
And Clare, like, for I suppose for Clare, Maliki, like, there's a lot of injuries out, like, with, I suppose, Mark Rogers, Aidan McCarthy, David Reedy, and, like, no one really knew what to expect from Clare, but, like, that, it's a massive result for Clare Ireland.
Yeah, huge result for Clare, and I guess they would have probably seen it as not so much of an ambush, but you know they would have seen an opportunity there as well, because a lot of talk. Tipperary did hurl, like Paul Naylor. Tipperary did a lot of good hurling against Waterford the previous week, so they had been coming into that match going, you know, I think we get over this one now to set up a big game down the line, whether it be a beat with Limerick or with Cork. So in a way, that false reading, as Paul said, kind of came to pass, and I think it really puts them, backs me into a corner now. But for Clare, they would have probably seen that as a great opportunity. They're coming in just nice and quiet, and we're able to get the job done. But I think the biggest concern there, I suppose, would be for Tipperary. Like, that's two games in a row. They've done plenty of good hurling, putting up high scores, but it's not winning hurling. Like, it's not winning games. And points back to, you know, the two guys who retired, Brennemar and Porrigmar as well. Like, you know, losing leaders like that on the pitch, it's not very easy just to snap out of that and continue it out without some kind of an impact. And I think that's playing out very quickly for them. So I think there's a lot of red flags there for Tipperary now. You can't really see them, you know, winning two games to qualify from here. I was actually quite surprised at results. I thought Tipperary would have seen them off, especially.
And Maliki, particularly in attack, like Peter Duggan and Shane O'Donnell, like, really strengthened this Clare attack. Like, if you're even looking at all the highlights yesterday of the Clare scores, there were two men who were just so central to it.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's good, obviously, to see Shane O'Donnell back, like, from his concussion injuries and stuff like that. But they're kind of... they hurled with a bit of freedom as well, and Clare, good to see those guys, and Tony Kelly back as well, like, you know, getting back into the swing of things as well. So I think Clare, like, now will get a great bounce out of that game, you know, for the remainder of their games as well. So, and it seems like they can spread it, like, you know, I suppose the wider opinion would be there, if you could stop Tony Kelly, you could beat Clare, but that was thrown on its head yesterday. So it's they'll get a great boost of energy out of that one now for the remainder of the games.
And Colm, this really does put Clare in a good position now in Munster.
Yeah, it does. I mean, they'll get a, as Maliki said, they'll get a great bounce off that. You know, there's no better start. You know, winning the first championship game. I did actually. I'm not just saying it all because that's the way the result got. I did think Clare would win it. I wasn't really that surprised, to be honest. I think Tip really would have invested an awful lot of mental energy and physical energy getting ready for that Waterford game, just such a big away game. Waterford going really well, league champions and all of that. They would have invested an awful lot of that effort into that. They give a seriously good account of themselves. I think most people would have thought, you know, Tip are a bit better than we were maybe giving them credit for after the league performances. But then you look at it, they lost the game. They would have went in probably Tuesday night and had a review or whatever. Then Thursday night, light session again, because, you know, big game coming on Sunday. And that's when they're turning their heads around for and getting ready for Clare, whereas Clare had the, you know, the full open 3-4 weeks of a window just prepping for Tip and Tip only. And that was on their radar. And, you know, they started the game well and they just kicked on, and Tip were a little bit flat and just, there was too much damage done to Ireland, and they couldn't get themselves back into it. As Paul said there, alluded to a couple of things about, you know, the space in the back line. And you're probably right, Paul. I mean, that's not something I'd really associate with Tipperary teams, the way they'd set up. You know, to have such a disconnect from their halfbacks and their fullbacks, looked like there was oceans of space there. And when you have a guy like Shane O'Donnell, who was, you know, in a position probably none of us have really seen much of him hurling before out in the wing, and that, you know, there was a lot of damage caused from those areas, wasn't there?
And Colm, like, as you alluded to there, the gap, but like Brian Hogan pulled off some tremendous saves to deny goals, but like, as an ex-goalkeeper yourself, like, you'd have to be, I suppose, very disappointed there when he does pull off saves, and how easy Clare were just able to, I suppose, get them goals by Ian Galvin and Peter Duggan.
Yeah, you know what I mean. You look at the first one, I mean, I could feel his pain, like such a save to tip it up onto the crossbar, and if it goes over the bar, even, you know, or out of play or something, but straight into Galvin's hand, was it? And sure, it was finished off. And the second one again, that was the one Paul was talking about, or I'd say it was, wasn't it, Paul? Where John went up the length of the pitch, John Collin went up the length of the pitch, opened up the whole thing, and he had so much space, he actually didn't pass it off for a finish, he went himself. And Brian Hogan made a great save again, the ball spun up into the air, and Peter Duggan finishes it off. I looked at those things, they go for you and they go against you. It's the look of it as well, breaking ball to go anywhere, but it just, I don't think that was the root cause of the problem. I think the problem was out a bit further, where there was just so much ground. Like, I mean, before John Conlon hit that shot, he must have ran 20 or 30 yards, maybe more, did he? I think that was the really surprising part of it for me, is tip, whether, I don't know, was it the way they were set up? Maybe, Paul, you might have been able to give a better answer on this, but, or maybe it was just, you know, a few younger players in there. Maybe it was just naivety that just seemed to get pulled out the pitch a bit. And Clare exploited that space really well.
And Paul, on that tip setup, like was it that poor, like where they got opened up and there was a naivety there?
Listen, I suppose even from Colin's point of view, like tip did hit a couple of long puck outs and didn't win, you know, so like where the game, modern game is going, like with long puck out, the general play seems to get sucked into that general area. Do you know what I mean? And again, did our half back line midfielders get sucked in when we did go long? I think did one or two of the goals come from those long puck outs? There one, they worked it up the field, and do you know, like even like Tony Kelly, his individual performances over the last few years have been phenomenal. And, you know, even that pass, just it reminded me of a Noel McGrath pass, you know, one split pass and suddenly the whole defence has opened up. You know what I mean? It was just, it appeared that just Tip lost their shape in some shape or form there yesterday, that, you know, which, as Colin mentioned earlier, is very unusual for Tip, the way they generally are structured. But, yeah, no, I very hard to know, like even on the, you would have seen the Sunday game last night, they highlighted the Limerick Water game where all the players are around the midfield. I think it was only one or two players, Limerick players up at the far end. You know, if you're not winning that long puck out, I think you're in trouble straight away, and Tip maybe got caught on a couple of counterattacks, you know.
Do you think, Paul, with the likes of Paddy Maher being absent and Brendan Maher, if those guys are on the pitch, does that happen? Like, do those, you know, on-field generals, you know, manage that a bit better? Is it a bit of that where they're lacking just maybe those leaders now at the minute, and the guys need to step up in the next year or two and try and fill those boots and make those decisions?
Well, that's it. Like I have to agree with you there, Colm. Like you take the likes of Brendan Maher out of the defence, Paddy Maher. Like, the amount of experience that they have, and, you know, they're able to, I suppose, call players back. You know, they can sense that danger from their own puck out, you know. And, you know, I suppose that experience, like you had young Quigley there, young Morgan, this is their first year, like, Dylan Quirky. So that's three new backs.
It's a lot.
You know, goalkeeper point of view, like you get one defender in the full back line, you more or less are coaching him through the game, trying to, I suppose, lend him experience, and you have good guys around him that are, you know, coaching them through games, and their sense of positioning, you know, might just get exposed on big days. And maybe that's something that happened. Like, from your own point of view, you know, when the six defenders in, you need that protection.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, I don't think all is lost either. So they'll use it as a big learning curve, won't they?
But that's it, like, you know, like, I suppose, like, It's Limerick Tip have next, isn't it? So
it is Limerick next, yeah.
So listen, I suppose to get a bit of structure into the defence, you know, I suppose get more of a return out of the forwards in the sense of scoring and that too. Like Tip, I suppose, are, you know, aim will be not to go down and get well beaten, but go down, give a performance and try to take the remaining two games. You know, I suppose bar a couple of bizarre results now, I'd say now Tip season could be fairly short.
Yeah.
Paul, it's also the precise trip, guys, but the previous week against Waterford late in the game as well, they seem to lack that structure right through, because it seemed to be just piling long ball down to the Waterford backs, and Waterford were able to absorb that. And it seems like from what you were saying as well, and it's true, that structure right through the field seems to be not there anymore with Tipperary. And I thought like they hurled plenty against Waterford late in the game, say the previous week, could have got some scores to tie the match up. And Waterford were able to absorb that pressure and hit them back at the end for a couple of insurance scores as well. So the kind of warning signs, you know, in hindsight were there, I'd say, the previous week. And they probably played out, and like to what Colm said as well, that maybe the energy wasn't in that performance yesterday, and they you know, comprehensively beat, really.
Yeah, listen, I suppose, go back to the Waterford game. Dizzy Hutchison's goal came from the right side in the town end. And, you know, I think Dizzy was on his own and received a pass on his own. A couple of the Tip defenders, I think, would have got caught ball watching. You know, they weren't, I suppose, tight under the opponents, and more like, yeah, at that level you can't give a forward an inch, like, you know. And again, Maliki, you know, they did structurally open the forward line, lose a lot of possession that wait on that. But it's something, I suppose, having dealt with, you know, you go back to 2019 when there was a lot of ball shoot, and it was more of a short ball team. You know, if they hit long, I suppose it was into Seamus Callanan at the time, and, you know, like, is that marquee forward not there to hit that, I suppose, long ball into when there is a bit of... Ooh.
Yeah, I think we just seem to lost Paul there. Maliki, like, even on the Clare half back line, it is something that they're really building a platform from Dave McInerney, John Conlon, and Jeremy Ryan.
Absolutely, yeah. And I remember when John Conlon first went back there, I thought I would question what impact that would have to their forward line, because he was a kind of a go-to guy there for a couple of years in their forwards. A guy, things weren't going well, was able to win primary possession. You know, he's able to score. But to move him centre-back, I thought huge question marks over that. But he's developed well into the position. And now David McInerney on one side as well. You know, he's played in the full-back line as well. Like, so, you know, that platform, as well, when you think about it, well, from Brian Lowen perspective, maybe they're actually settling into, you know, they've got a couple of years, like, with them, and they're settling into a pattern or whatever you want to describe it. So, absolutely, yeah. It's he's went from strength to strength there. Now, he's probably, like, now... like Colm said earlier on, carrying the ball more forward, just getting out there, owning the position as well. So definitely they're a bit of a surprise package to me, to be quite honest, on what they, you know, what they dished out yesterday. But with a half point, like, they'd get into most teams.
And with Cork coming up for them at the weekend, Colm, that's obviously going to be hugely significant, you'd feel, for third place. But do you think Clare in a huge position now to, I suppose, qualify out of Munster?
Yeah, I mean, they'll look at it now as a big opportunity, having won a game. But I suppose you'll have to see now, do they suffer, like a couple of teams in the first round have suffered? You know, they would have invested huge amount of mental and physical energy into the Tipperary game. Granted, they got the win and everything now, but Cork of the week off, didn't they? Where they would have been, they might be, you know, that little bit fresher, and obviously Cork will really be looking for a response, won't they, from after day one, after the Limerick game. So that'll be a tasty one now, to be honest, Evan. That'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I wouldn't attempt to call it now, to be honest, Evan. Haven't seen Clare the last day, and knowing, you know, there should be a good kick in Cork. That's a 50-50 one now, guard. That one could go anyway.
And just on Leinster, I suppose, Maliki, coming to you first, obviously, as a Wexford man, like Wexford did have opportunities to win that game. Mark Fanning's penalty, Conor McDonald's missed for the goal chance, which you expect them to score. Liam Ryan gets blocked down heroically by Danny Sutcliffe at the end. So there probably is a frustration there as a Wexford supporter.
Yeah, there's huge frustration there. I think, you know, during the game and straight after the game, you're so, I suppose, excited and invested in the game that, like, it was a chance that Wexford probably coughed up, really. They could have won the game, but ultimately they were second best because they were behind probably for, you know, I would say 65 and 70 minutes. And real basic stuff let them down, like, you know, missed six frees, missed a penalty, and the Conor McDonald goal. Like, you add all those things together and you're clutching a straw. And as well, don't forget that 10 minutes to go, or just over 10 minutes to go, Keane O'Callaghan was sent off as well. Like, so it was there for them to go after, and they just didn't take their chance, really. And like you said yourself, Paul, the last minute, Liam Ryan bursting clear. I know he got blocked down initially, but he managed to get the ball back again and go clear, and he probably should have taken the shot on himself. But again, I would say that, you know, you're talking about that's to level up the game. They got a late score to level up the game against Galway. And I just think, looking back, the Waterford game, there's just been a bit of confidence damage there, because they took such a tank in that day that I think it took a while to shake off in the Galway game. They're not hurling with that freedom that I thought when Keane O'Callaghan got sent off. I said that they'll go on now and they'll carry it forward and they'll get their scores. But Dublin hit them back for the next two scores straight after that sending off. And you thought, you said, maybe it's not going to happen today. You just expected it to happen. So it's very disappointing. And again, no different than Tipperary. It backs Wexford into a corner now. They're probably going to have to get a result in Nolan Park in the last round of games to qualify. And that's never easy.
Colm, I just want to bring you in here in relation to Wexford's setup on their puckouts. They did back away from Dublin and Sean Brennan, letting Dublin have the ball. As a goalkeeper, and we've seen Owen O'Donnell how easily he burst forward for that point, like, and there were signs of this in the Galway game. It's surely something that Wexford need to change now.
It's a tactic they've employed. I think I've seen it before as well a couple of times. I think they did it in Parnell. Was it early in the year or was it even last year? They just completely retreat and basically say, come on, play throughs if you can. It has its merits, I suppose. You're structurally well set up at the back. There shouldn't be too many areas to land the ball, even in grass, never mind to pick out a player to hand with the ball. Anything through the channels, any low puck out that's going to somebody's hands, there's a major risk of that being intercepted. But then the flip side is, you know, a team that has good composure, good ball players, you know, getting out to the 45, you know, 50 yards out, you know, one pass, maybe you're not far off the 65, you know, for a lot of guys, if you're in shooting zone territory nearly already after one pass or two, if you count the puck out initially. But will they change it? I don't know. Stick or twist? I don't know. Maliki, what do you think? Is it something that's a bit of a bone of contention down there, or does it look like a tactic that will be persisted with? It's hard to kind of back off something, isn't it, when you've maybe invested a lot of time and clearly this is your way of defending opposition puckouts. And maybe it was just something that they thought they could get a bit of return off against Dublin, and maybe they look at another team and think, no, this is a team we need to push up on. Maybe there's a bit of that too.
Yeah, it is. It's true, Colm, as well. And I thought it was interesting, the game as well, because two of the Dublin, say, newcomers, John Bellew and Donica Ryan, they conceded possession to those guys. And to be fair to Donica Ryan, he carried the ball forward confidently, and they were getting change out of that as well. So I think Dublin, or say Wexford, would maybe gamble on Dublin. You know, would they poke it to the relatively newer player? And I thought that was interesting that they even had, like, Sean Brennan had the confidence to do that, to poke it to the two lads. But what they did was then they brought it back in field and gave it to the likes of Owen O'Donnell to carry forward. So it was, you know, I think that was a ultimately it didn't work out for Wexford. And like you say, they were inviting him on, saying, look, hit it down on top of us and we'll contest it with an extra man at the back and then carry it forward. And I just think that was the pattern of the game then was that Wexford were carrying forward and probably giving away possession. Dublin probably broke it down the other side and it's probably given away again. So it was a 10-minute period there early in the game, and it was a lot of just misplaced ball and, you know, indecisive hurling as well, like, you know.
Yeah.
And like that's a massive result for Dublin, Paul, like as Malachy referenced there, a man down for the last 10 minutes, and like they did really defend heroically in that game towards the end.
Yeah, listen, I suppose you hit the nail on the head, like they did defend, I suppose, with a bit of passion there towards the end. You know, they got a sense of belief when they were six, seven points up, like, you know, it's a bit like Clare yesterday, you know, any team that does go that far ahead, you know, they get confidence. So I just think Dublin got confidence from going ahead early on. Like, again, I think Wexford left that game behind them, you know, between frees, as Malachy referred to there, I think it was six he referred to, being missed. Like, they're your bread and butter scores. And, you know, Conor McDonald was very unlucky there to shoot wide of the post here in the first half, and again the penalty, you know, like they're bread and butter scores, like yeah, you get chances in games but you need to take them, like, but you know, I suppose Dublin were lucky to hold on, and that, you know, I suppose Wexford didn't have the shooting going with them last Saturday night, you know, but again, like that puts Wexford in a huge I suppose going up to Nolan Park looking for a result, as Malik said, you know, it's not the sweetest places to go to try and get 2 points. You know, then again, they're dependent on other results. But again, look, listen, I suppose that sets up Dublin now to qualify. That'll give them their 6 points, as they'll get two against Westmeath and that. So that should be enough to see Dublin through.
And is the one positive, Malachy, you can take it, like, I suppose Rory O'Connor was nullified against Galway, but like any time he did get on the ball, he was creating something on Saturday night.
He was, yeah. And he was probably unlucky in the sense that he won a lot of frees and he didn't get that moment to really just cut loose and you know, even score from, you know, like get an easy score from play or even a shot at goal as well. Like, and Dublin did a great job on that, like, because like Keane O'Callaghan, he's a great defender. Like, look, he said off or whatever, but that was just you know, a persistent foul at that rate. But he did a great job on him up to that point. He was under pressure with him all the time as well. They probably elected to foul him a few times, you know, to not be opened up. But they did a good job. And Owen O'Donnell as well, like, I think you can't forget the job he did on Conor McDonald. He was outstanding. And especially late in the game, because he looked like he was out in his feet at one time when he got a yellow card, and then he got back again, he caught the next poke out. Like, he was really, really just leading from the back, and just anything that came in there, he was hoovering up and charging forward with it. So like, Rory O'Connor was a positive, but ultimately he just really, you know, in a 1 point game like that, you know, it's small margins, but I think when you, in the cold light of day, when you review that game, Dublin deservedly won the game, because Wexford did just take their chance. You can't leave those type of chances behind, be it not from play or from place balls. You have to score them. And there's no other team won at the weekend missing the amount of chances that Wexford did as well.
Colm, you would have had your battles against Dublin in the Galway jersey, and there's always this narrative of maybe they don't have the forwards and all this, but like there is different players stepping up this year, particularly Whiteley and Mennett, like two players who probably aren't that well known outside of Dublin stepping up. Like, they seem to be a bit more functioning up front this year.
They are. I mean, you don't win games like that game in Wexford, you know, without doing an awful lot right and having the players to carry out whatever the game plan is. I think they had a fair turnover of players in the league too, didn't they? They tried out a lot of players. You know, the team really, game on game, you know, there was different players lining out. There was positional changes. You know, so they're definitely, Matty was definitely looking at guys in different positions, different formations, and giving players a go. And there seems to be a good competitiveness in that group now, which is a huge thing going into a championship. To have guys, you know, knocking on the door and pushing the guys on the field, and I suppose there's a cohort of players then probably pushing to get onto the even just the panel, and that's really, really where you want to be, you know, to to have that competitors in the group. But there is certainly guys now who maybe we haven't heard a whole pile about yet, but they are putting their hand up and they are backing it up with good performances. And with the structure of the championship, you know, game on, you know, week on week, there's games. You will need that because, you know, injuries are going to come into play here. I mean, looking down the line, Galway and Dublin playing the last round, and you see which team now, you know, how the panels are fixed when they get to there with injuries, even could decide something like that, you know, which will probably be a big important game for both teams at that stage as well.
Madicke, you're obviously involved now in Dublin hurling, and even if you're looking at some of the names who weren't on that panel, obviously through injury, they haven't returned, like Dara Gray, Keane O'Sullivan, Keane Boland, Liam Rush on the bench. Like as Colm said, there's a real panel being built there now.
Absolutely, but sometimes situations like that force the hand of a manager to actually play guys and actually play them consistently, or you know, over a period of games as well. And Eamon Dillon's another one. Eamon Dillon, like, you know, he's scored a lot of goals for Dublin over the last few years as well. Like, and he's not, you know, he didn't line out either. So they're definitely, it's a new look team. Even like Fergal Whiteley has played a lot for Dublin, but probably in different positions. He never lined out really until this year. I believe on the corner forward as well. And Aidan Mellett, like, you know, he was buzzing, like, you know, sideline to sideline there the other night for Dublin as well. So definitely it's a new look team. I think Matty Kenny has probably tried to rejig some of the positions. Like Chris Crummy's probably playing a midfield now as opposed to playing centre forward and drifting back and, you know, playing from deep. So there's definitely a new look, you know, a new look team there. It seems like John Bellew, Donegal Ryan, they're really they're nailing down positions for themselves, be it by chance or by, you know, by their performances or whatever it is. So it's interesting to say that, like, that Colm should say as well. Like, I think a week-on-week scenario like this at the end of that, you know, the series of games, you know, will it be a last-man-standing job? Because I think that will be a key concern to a number of teams as well, that they can try avoid injuries and avoid injuries of key men as well.
Madicke, do you feel they're a team that can have a proper crack at Leinster now this year?
They still have to play Kilkenny and Galway. I don't think so. And the reason I say that is I think that Wexford could have beaten them and Wexford weren't at the best the other night. I think they might just come third best on that one, really. Like, cause I think Kilkenny and Galway will probably top the group with this. That's my thinking at the moment anyway. But not really sure quite, you know, have they got that firepower when it comes to it? To really trouble either Kilkenny or Galway remains to be seen yet, obviously, but I just can't get it yet, because I was quite confident that Wexford were going to beat them on Saturday night, because I thought Wexford had shook off that whole Waterford thing in the second half against Galway. I said, no, Wexford will deal with this now at the weekend, but that was thrown out the window anyway. But I don't see him contesting this year, to be honest.
Paul, your neighbours Kilkenny have obviously racked up two big scores in the last two games, 234-114 winners over Leash, and like, even going by the highlights, this was one way traffic all along.
Yeah, so this was Kilkenny. I suppose Kilkenny got the favourable draw. Like, they got Westmeath in their first game, and they got Leash in the second game, so they have 4 points on the board before they play the big guns like Galway and Wexford. You know, I suppose to both those games, once the fixtures came out, were foregone conclusions. Kilkenny being Kilkenny will always win those games, you know. But again, you know, like, you hate seeing the likes of Westmeath and Leash even, you know, getting beaten by that much. Like, it's still nothing for the game of hurling in those counties, even though there is great, great work being done, you know. I suppose it was just always Kilkenny's game to win anyway, and or just happened to be meet Leash, I suppose, probably on an off day. But Kilkenny, I suppose, have geared themselves up now for two remaining games with Galway and Wexford, you know, with points on the board, and it gives them a cushion and a bit of breathing space.
Does it come as a bit of a disadvantage, do you feel, Paul, maybe for them not having a competitive game in their opening two games?
I don't think so. You know, like I suppose Kilkenny being any of the heard, even Brian Cody's mantra was that the 15v15 in a train is as good as a championship game. So listen, I'd have no fear for Kilkenny from that point of view. You know, I suppose their next game is Galway, I think, is it? Is that in Pierce Stadium? So, you know, I suppose it's Brian Cody versus Henry. So, you know, he won't want to go up to Galway and lose. Like, so, you know, I that should be, I suppose Kilkenny's championship is really only starting now, you know, being realistic about it.
And Colin, from being involved with Offaly, and they're obviously trying to make the jump up to this Leinster Championship, but when you see the weaker counties getting, I suppose, pastings like we've seen over the weekend, like, does something need to be done with the format, or what do you think?
Yeah, sure. Look, that's the other side of it. You know, for Offaly at the minute, they're in the Joe McDonagh, and look, regardless of what's going on around them in the other divisions, you know, above or below, I think, you know, the sole focus is just try and win every game and try and win that championship if they can at all. I think it's just another argument altogether then whether something needs to be done with the championship or restructured or other incentives or how you go about it. I don't know, to be honest. Paul, I really don't have the answers because, you know, I've seen Westmeath a couple of times. We actually played Leash there in a challenge a few weeks ago. I know Franny Ford is there, and granted, I had a conversation with him as well recently, and I think there's a lot of injury concern there. There's a lot of big players in Leash that are injured at the minute, which obviously doesn't help the thing. When you are trying to make a little bit of a breakthrough and compete against teams like Kilkenny and Galway and Dublin and these, you need absolutely everyone on the field, and you pick, you know, three or four fellas then out of that with injuries, it makes things very hard. But as regards, you know, where do you go with it after that? Do you amalgamate the two championships and have and seed it and have a top team in each group and a middle tier team in each group and a weaker county in each group, something like that? I don't know, could that work a bit better? Maybe it could, but I mean, not for me to decide really. But I don't know, the powers that be might come up with something better, but. It probably is going to be an argument now that picks up again after some of those results. You know, does it really do anyone any good? Either someone be getting beaten by, you know, 25, 30 points, you know, either team probably doesn't really, does it?
And what's your own view on the current format, Maliki?
I think the current format is... Look at it, it's catch 22 really, like, okay, but I think the fact that there's a series of games, it allows, you know, the perceived weaker teams to at least get something from that, develop more players, bring players in from their under 20s, whatever that is. I know, look at but the reality of how it's playing out is they're getting a few hidings here and there as well, okay? But if you think back a couple of years ago when Leash, you know, got to play Tipperary and Croker, like, that was a big win for them after beating Dublin down in Port Leash. So you don't want to eliminate the chance of that happening either. And if you ask somebody from, whether it's, you know, Offaly or Westmeath or Leash or whoever, that, you know, where do they want to play? They want to play against the big teams because they want to get that exposure as well. So, yes, like Colin said, it's a very difficult one to figure out, but I would be in favour of giving them the opportunity to play at that level, because I think, and play a series of games like that where they actually get at least a chance to, you know, play their full squad, play plenty of games, play in the big grounds and get the exposure that they, you know, they probably deserve. But ultimately, there's just a gap and it exists, and it's going to be very hard for that ever to be bridged, really.
And Colin, a big win for Galway over the weekend over Westmeath, 337-117. Where do you feel they're at now?
Very good. We have, not sure all particularly know at the minute, or anyone knows. They really should have won in Wexford. You know, they started the game really well. They built up a good lead, and they got pipped at the end, or not pipped, but they got pegged back. They got a draw. But again, it was an away game, so. You know, getting a point wasn't the end of the world, and they did bounce back well at the weekend. I mean, you know, it was all done in the first half, really, wasn't it? They put up something like 225 in the first half, which was, you know, a good enough score to win most games, you know, never mind have that put up in the first half. So it'll give them a little bit of confidence, I suppose, and a few fellas probably put hands up for places again there now, and You know, it's a good bounce into what will be a huge game probably next week now with Kilkenny. Then that'll really be the one part where it'll tell, I suppose, both teams really where they're at that moment to play.
Just on your own club, man, Conor Whelan, obviously, with that hamstring injury, like, it's obviously a significant loss for that forward line because he really does make them tick.
Yeah, if he is to be out, I haven't heard anything yet that he is, but obviously it was a hamstring injury. So again, you know, those kind of injuries aren't just going to disappear in a few days. So it was the Wexford game. So what is it? A 2-week turnaround is probably a little bit too much to ask. If we see him on the pitch or not, you know, it'd be great if he was. He's obviously a massive player for Galway now. He's one of the leaders. You know, he brings great energy to the forward line. So certainly if he is to miss, that'll be Galway's loss and Kilkenny's gain, I suppose.
Can you see them competing for Leinster this year, Paul?
Galway. Listen, Galway are, you can never write off Galway, in fairness to them. You know, they're after bringing in Henry there, I suppose. You know, I suppose a new manager coming in, like Henry's probably still getting to know those Galway players. Like, it's different for the likes of Matty Kenny, John Kiley, who know their players inside out. So, you know, building still getting to know a new player. Like, the talent that's in Galway, you know, from underage upwards, you know, they're always players that are developing. So, you know, I think, listen, going back to last 2 years, you would have always said Galway were the team to threaten Limerick's dominance. You know, you go back to that semi-final 2 years ago, you know, there wasn't much in it. Like, it was a shootout above Croke Park, and, you know, could Galway have won it? You know, I suppose even Joe Canning, Joe's retirement there is a, you know, it was a big void to fill. You know, so again, listen, it's called Wexford. I'm sure Henry, naturally enough, probably disappointed they didn't get the win. But having said that, they got a point in Wexford Park, which is good going. And, you know, the scoring they did last weekend, you know, would suggest that Galway are on a mission. Like, and, you know, you're probably looking at Galway Kilkenny Leinster final, and then the other Dublin and possibly Wexford fighting it out for the third position.
And like coming up this weekend, Malachy, as Paul referenced there a while ago, Brian Cody versus Henry Shefflin, Galway versus Kilkenny, like it's on everyone's mind. There's going to be so much hype around this game.
There is, yeah. And I think as well, being in Pearce Stadium, I think as Paul said, it sets up nicely for Galway as well and for Henry as well, because, you know, he tried to get the crowd, you know, behind the team and, you know, get one over Cody as well. So I do agree. I think it'll be those two vying out for the Leinster final place. But I think Galway just seemed to be better. Like, the, you know, the series, get a good game against Wexford, like, you know, whatever about the result, but, like, you know, they performed well for a long period of that game and just didn't get over the line, really. And then they had a good blowout this weekend. So I think that tees up nicely for them to probably beat Kilkenny at home in the next game. So that's how I see it going. But I think that'll be a ferocious game, because neither of those teams will want to let each other get a leg up. And I think as well, like, Henry's probably getting used to his squad. Galway have a great squad. They have a great system of getting players through from, say, well, minors under 20 into the senior team quickly. And they always seem to have a good squad. So it'll be just, I'm looking forward to that game.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating game that awaits this weekend between Galway and Kilkenny, and lots more action coming up. But that's all on today's show. Looking back at the action over the weekend, I'd like to thank Colm, Paul and Malachy for jumping on the podcast. And thanks a million for your time, lads.
No problem.
Thank you.